Okay. I have this for math, math this year. Okay, good. Hakdom Mishnia. Haniflos for also some mosim, Shosak and Sprokobo Lomo. Vodia Gvurosov Lobo Lomo. Rolo Dia Drochov Vinyanum. Deshizbar Masalakim. So the second Hakdomah is that when we deal with the Nisim and the flaws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, there's what to study about it. Let's get a sense of the relationship between Hakdomahs. In his first Hakdomah, he said that Torah needs to be studied in a way that's appropriate for it, and therefore things that can't be known are not public, and so on and so forth. Now, basically, having said that, so Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah overtly. But Nisim Reflos, you've got all the Mitzrayim and all the Makis and everything else you want written about. So if everything's written about, I guess that means there's what to study about it. And he's going to pave a way between two extremes. There's one extreme is, well, these are all divine events, and we have no shaykhs to it, and therefore we cannot, there's nothing to be known, understood, or gained from knowing and understanding Nisim. Nisim are just Nisim, and that's it. That's one extreme that, following his trend of thought, that the Torah only lists things that you can have some insight into. He's going to veer away from that. On the other hand, there's a whole genre of, scientific theology or theological science. How exactly did the Ness work? What exactly, how did this happen, this happen, this happen, this happen? Well, you can sort of put it, you can package it scientifically. And that was something he's also going to shy away from, even though there were some Jewish philosophers that this was their derech, he's going to shy away from it. Okay, so
you mean people who are kind of strictly rationalists?
The so-called rationalists, yes. It reminds one of the story that somebody once said about his Rebbe, that his Rebbe stands on a chair and is able to see around the world. And someone said, that's really fantastic. But if you can do that, why does he need to stand on a chair? And he said, well, we try to limit the scope of the Ness as much as possible. So sort of the same idea. So he says, Afkin Leisrael hamaminei ve'ein chokin b'sichum achshavtom ladas dvar makmusim ein tzarif lezeh. Even though he says, Klai Yisrael, who believes that Emunah Shleima doesn't need it in order to believe, came to me med derech chokin toras Hashem, yaminuchol divar Torah Neviim. They believe in Torah Neviim, but also Zvamovsim Shabbat, but Torah Neviim lo yischak malehem. They don't try to, be smarter than the Torah. In other words, try to give rational explanations. Ve'etzlam noydek Hashem oisek gvurs and flaws. They know HaKadosh Baruch Hu did gvurs and flaws. V'chol ha'shachovetz be'lamo yaseh hein l'haris hein livnos. He does as he wishes, to build, to destroy. K'chom yarayotze, but it's also marcha, it's also mekatze, k'bro me'ayin. The explanation is logically very consistent. If you believe in a creator that started with nothing and made it all, then he certainly can start with all and make it nothing, or he can make whatever he wants.
Right, and I took from that when it said, "Baro ma'ayin v'ad ayin yochol hashivehu."
Yeah.
And when we create something from ayin, it's emphasizing the point that there's no hechreach for anything.
Correct. And also, you can't say that there is a problem. Let's go back to our muscle of a dream again. I can make a table out of wood. I can't make a closet out of wood. I don't have the skill for it. I can make a table out of wood. I can't do it out of metal. I don't have the tools for it, and so on. But if I'm dreaming, then if I can dream of a table, I can dream of anything else I want. It makes no difference because the dream is totally created by me. There's no limit if the essence of the thing itself in every way is from me. So it's just there's no limitation if you're saying he's borrowing my ayin.
Right.
But people who are rashes came along, Alashem is palsifim, they've tried to philosophize into God's affairs, rotsim is chakim avar mistorim, but var maniglim, v'heim itomuloy nehem. They trying to use some sort of research, investigation, on things, the Nister and Nigla. He was referring to the Spanish philosophers that tended more. He doesn't mention it here by name. Usually it's the Rabag that he seems to have the brunt of who he disagrees with. Ibn Kaspi, other people of that nature, they were, they were caught between very strong believers so-called rational philosophy and so on. They tried to play with the Torah and use the same set of tools and logical questions to get into it. You have a whole range of different questions and probes and so on and so forth. Ulam, kulam ruach v'dav ein behem. It's all harer basically. Ki ma yuchal adam ladas bal choyme, af kinosal kimbodeh v'chachma, hine daito chmosa v'shal choyme, v'ish le daito chmosa chibu v'yachas al choyme, echir advar manib dolem. So here he says a reason why we could not possibly understand it. It's a reason that he's touched a little bit on before, but let's just explain it. It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chachma and Das, but our Chachma and Das are attached to something physical. Our mind can, to some degree, can conceptualize, which means to some degree it transcends flesh and blood, but it can't transcend it totally. Let's give a muscle for it. Let's say I have in a societal setting, I have a person who is a big chacham, and he meets a person, he can get a sense of the person, he can guess his motives really well, he can predict very accurately this person's activities. That's something that we say is a function of a very bright person, bright in a certain way. Let's say this person meets someone from a very, very different culture. He meets somebody from Japan. So even though I am brilliant, insightful, understand human nature really well, but it's set in the substance of an American, and I can't free my thinking process from its being rooted in American mores and attitudes and so on. I don't have a really good way of being able to project. So even though my mind is well developed, and the fact is that when I meet people, I can sort of project, say, well, he's saying this, but it means this. His motives are projected as X, but it's really Y. And those statements are true statements, and they're fine statements, but then don't work because in when it's a radically different society, because it's not of the same nature. So yes, I have a mind that understands, can conceptualize, but at the end of the day, it's still rooted in physicality. The me that is thinking is not pure thought, it's thought that has as its root some physicality and cannot project beyond that. I can't project things that are totally spiritual. My trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really meaningless. Same way, let's not even look to different societies. A child projecting into projecting into an adult world as a difficulty, because he just doesn't have those building blocks of the understanding of an adult mind. As a parenthetical remark, one of the problems with the so-called, with the modern day, academic style biographies of big people. So there's a taina about from people or Haredi people writing biographies of Gedolim that they're hagiographical, they're just kind of saint stories, and yes, it is true. People will tend not to write shortcomings. People, depending on who they are and so on and so forth, might bring in stories that didn't happen or brush them up and so on and so forth. And there is a criticism, obviously, about that.
It happens to be a criticism I share personally.
I have no problem, but it is like this. When somebody outside counters with a biography of a girl, but the person himself has never ever been part of this world, so-called academic historians, data itself is the beginning of a history. A phone book is the best data about a city, but it tells you nothing about a city. So when you're writing about a person, for instance, if somebody who was, let's take somebody who's totally a goy, has no shaykhus, and he says, well, it says that he had this very, very attractive woman that he met, but rejected her because she didn't share his idealism about studying Torah. Well, that's not reasonable. I mean, come off it. I mean, who would reject somebody who's very, very, very attractive because you want to study something, you figure out? Well, that person just doesn't understand the mindset. It's a problem that you can't really write as an outsider. It's because most of the things, you have facts, and then you need to interpret it. And if you don't interpret it, that's not history. Interpretation is something which is vital to it. So if I speak about people in my society, and I look at the facts, and I'm in a position to make reasonable assumptions. If so-and-so graduated Harvard, and then it says he got a job sweeping floor someplace, that's strange. That's weird. Yes, it is. And living here, knowing what Harvard is, knowing what sweeping floor is, I can make that statement. And I can say, well, what was the issue? What was happening there? Did he have a breakdown? Did he have this? But if I'm not part of that society, I don't begin to understand it. It's a problem. I saw somebody write something, and the person, some of the points he made were good, but some of the points, he just didn't understand the players. You know, it's so, I just sort of digressed, because he said over here, to try to understand things that are complete ruchnius doesn't really make, we can't do it. Taking those events and scrutinize it with eyes that are at the end of the day rooted in physical phenomena is not going to give you the great understanding. The great understanding of Nisim is not going to be found in how is it, what was the mechanism for the water to transform into blood. That's not going to be that way. And we want, at the end of the day, we're not going to have the real understanding we need, because the process was not physical. We can have a great understanding of science because we're talking about physical process, but not about something where at some point it's ruchnius. So he says, "Ukemoyshen adam is chavim nevdolim kach layuchalam yonam zeh." Just like we're not part of that world, we also can't really understand the yon of that world. The only way we can have a handle is by the things that are told Moshe Nevi'im, umehem kibla chachamim, vehodiyu lanu medrashim u'divrei adram nilam akmusim. So Chazal have a mesoris on some of the mahalchim of these, and we can gain an understanding, and we'll always, the understanding is never going to be sufficient to make it physical, because I'm dealing with empty, but the amitios of it, we're going to have to gain from that world. So just like, let's take an example, an interesting example. Let's say you have a person who's a brilliant scientist and does a lot of research, let's say, in neurology. I think of something particularly, but the person is autistic, like the, let's say, Temple Grandin, who is a brilliant scientist, but is autistic. When she's going to want to study about emotions, she's going to have to take people's words for a lot of things. And if somebody tells her, whenever a person, whenever X happens to a person, these are the emotions that he reacts with, the person can quantify it and say, I have it as a fact, and now I can work with it, but I don't really, I couldn't do it on my own. The intuitive sense of it doesn't exist with me. So if I trust the person telling me and he tells me X provokes anger and B provokes jealousy and C provokes awe, and there are different types of people that react for different reasons, I can sort of deal with this stuff even though I don't actually have a handle in it. So basically what he's saying is we need, especially when we're studying Nisim, we need to come on to the brokerage of Chazal, because there's no way without having that I can study nature without having Torah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a physical world, and it has, it's consistent physically, and I can study it and I can figure it out possibly. But when it comes to Nyanim that are Ruchni in their nature, without the input of Chazal, I'm at a loss to say my own ideas over here. V'kasha'elu anashem espalsafim chokim of Ma'aseh Hashem, when they did try to stand, yesh yotzu l'derech zor gamri, something completely went off a strange road. V'oisem in ro l'haske es zichem es devreim, one has no reason to mention it. Em lo yikivoyshom v'chazal ha'veshokot l'umoyt. It says there is an Indian to learn and to understand how to be battle sheker from the world, but as a method in its own right, worthy of study, it certainly isn't. So that is that's one. So one train of thought or one school that he is very against are those who start with their own axioms and try to build a tire of understanding the spiritual world from that. One, v'yesh emunah Yisrael, there are some emaminim, bo v'sechon datam ezen fosin shalomim, they come across certain nisim, v'shak maleim, v'yavo v'daitam kanis asher chashvu, enem askim l'daitam chachmasam, they'll say, well, this nais contradicts contradicts all that I know through science. So they therefore found some pirush that's they gave it a natural explanation. This is a whole school of people. They'll say, well, if you take a look, they'll say it with the attitude of being a believer. Well, if you take a look in history, that's where the Ten Makas took place. There's a record of we find that certain pigments, iron pigments underwater turns red, and sometimes when there's some sort of, I forgot whether the frogs come out, so on and so forth, they tried to give it that explanation without denying that God brought and so on and so forth. So he says, Omnam yeshul malem schus b'tzimah kele nichtasu b'zeh shitlu chasron chasron palanissim. You can be mlamet schus in these people. They're not saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lacking something. She'en adam v'kach klal. Akir nir lefisich she'en ro lepol amiti she'eshan ha'sein adim tzoyim she'en vroim b'em z'bi yoyshev l'shan yistov ha'shrikam v'tzism ha'shrispah. The problem that these people had, why they learned Pshat differently than this, was as follows. They said, they use a philosophical, theological argument. if God is perfect, that he created must be perfect. If the system gate is perfect, then any time you need to mess up the system, that's imperfection. You know, imposition is an imperfection, so therefore it can't be that. That was a line of argument.
It's actually a compelling line of argument.
Yes, and the problem with it is, you know, and like he says, like as I say, so had the Torah just said it the monotone, you know, this and this happened, the water split here, it's not, so you could say, okay, this was nature. But the Torah says, I'm going to show you a thing that is extraordinary, it never was and never will be, it's something that doesn't fit into any scheme of things, then the Torah, so you can ask the question on the Torah, you can pose it as a question, but you can't say that it's not an extraordinary event where the Torah says nobody else can do this. You know, I mean, you really, really have to twist and the. By the way, the Maharal in general, there's a whole line of questions built along this premise that something which perfect is immutable. If it's immutable, how could there be any changes? There's a lot of all sorts of questions that come out of it. The Maharal's general approach is, let's give again a mashal to. But it is something along the following lines. If I, let's say I'm a teacher, and let's say, hypothetical, we'll make it hypothetical. I walk into a classroom. Some days I walk in, I'm whistling to myself, and I'm all energetic, and guys, you know, it's just great, and you're great, and just fantastic. And some days I walk in, I'm really sour, and snappy and so on, very, very kind of difficult. So an outsider may appropriately observe that I'm a moody person. I'm, you know, ranging from bipolar to just kind of, I have my ups and downs, I have my problems, I have my issues, I have my whatever, and he'd be right. But, you know, some days he'd come in. Let's say I'm like that perfect teacher. And when I walk into a classroom, I size up the mood of the class, how do I need to react to that mood? And some days it'll be very ebullient and kind of bouncy and just sort of, and then some days I'll come in with very, very kind of strong and kind of serious and no nonsense and so on. So I did not change at all. It's my reaction to the people's needs. So what creates that change is the people and their needs. The first person, it's me. Some days I'm in a good mood, some days a bad mood. Some days good things happen to me, and I reflect it in a good mood. Some days bad things happen to me, I reflect in a bad mood. But here, I did it with a group of people that I'm reacting to them. So I can't say that I changed. They changed. My reaction is simply to them, and they're the ones that are changing. Anytime a Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world, if his side of the deal was different, like one day God would be in a good mood, one day in a bad mood, that would be a paradox. That could not be. But what he was saying is, well, God did create people with Bechira, and however you'll resolve the issue of Bechira Idea, we have Bechira, and God's Hashkacha is there to guide us and to react to us. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is one, he's reacting. What's changed is the person I'm reacting to, and therefore I have that change. That's General de Maral's approach, and that's.
I totally hear that.
Yeah.
And certainly, sometimes my kids view me as two schizophrenic copies. So the mushel's a good mushel. Hopefully, I'm really, you know, have the same decent kavana both times, whether I'm punishing them or, you know, playing with them. Right. But, but with regards to the question of Teva,
right,
and Ashinoi and Teva, you know, I remember, and I'm digging back a while ago, but I think I remember learning the Ramchal that had an approach which is a bit of a synthesis, meaning that, yeah, something extraordinary happened, and it's not like a Teva you've ever seen before. But in a Hanami, it was built into Maisa Bereishis from the beginning. It's not the type of Shinoi which is Mamish Yesh Ma'ayim.
Right.
It's rather a one-time event that was built in from the beginning.
He has a slightly different, we'll see his approach, and this is really the core of Three Act Dummies, his approach. So how do we view Nisim? Another point that he's going to raise is, you have a different machlokas in certain Nisim, like Shemesh be Givon Dom, like when the sun stood still Givon, there's a machlokas, three Amoraim, how long it was stood for, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. And he says, you know, if by definition it's a nace is sort of an extraordinary situation, then what is it's like asking, you can have legal studies, you can have case histories and try to understand what was the court's approach to X, Y, or Z. When you're talking about clemency from a president or a governor, that you say, well, it's not a rational legal decision. It's more a sense of the heart than intuition. So you can't really study them from a legal perspective. You might study it from a psychological perspective, but you can't study it. I mean, his point is going to be, you see that the way Chazal approached Nisim is there is what to study, but it's going to have to be so different. We'll get there. But that's a point that at the core of what he's trying to do here is trying to understand how one would approach it. So he says, okay, Omna mitzaracha ein zchus dem. So on the one hand, there's a limit zchus in the fact they're not denying God's ability to do it, but they had this issue with you know, how could there be change? Chutz min atam asher evreim peshem enoch v'esech v'adas. Ki mofseim reisem lo yitzdiku v'edehem heima ki sor min emes v'yoshe ach ki bilbulu, or probably could have been ach ki bilbulu an aksubim yusol apirushim. It says the fact that what's unforgivable is that they've distorted the psukim terribly. V'nosnu tam benisim, they tried to explain a ness. Sheimor al ma'aseh Hashem. In other words, a ness by definition is saying this can only be the work of something that's not natural. So that's the first thought. In other words, he understands and sympathizes with where they're coming from philosophically, but what's unforgivable is that the psukim are so do not lend themselves to their understandings. Shemoyra ma'is Hashem shakach nikra oisu ma'ifes, shem oifs u ma'ifes al ma'is Hashem aneira, tam bilti meshubach. Venasnu chulsha ba'oisu ma'ifesim. In a certain sense, they're weakening. A nace is called an ois and a ma'ifes, which is a sort of a proof and a sign of a divine being. So how, if the more you try to explain it in terms of it being not a change, the more you have a problem of it no longer. It's not the divine showing himself. This is just a fluke of nature. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. They've weakened the sign of it. The main reason God brings a nace is not because the world got messed up and he needs to sort of pull the plug for a few minutes and fix it. It's to show to people, I'm here, and don't get lost in nature because I'm here behind it. Vihine, he says, Harishna Shaloyosicho, the first one who we don't even want to mention his name, Kim Kadesha Tashalapi Kores. So I'm not sure. When I worked on this, I tried looking up who are these people that he's lambasting. So I asked around a little bit by academics. I couldn't get any. I didn't get any names. I mean, he mentions the Rabag later and blesses him separately. I don't know who all the people he refers to is.
Is he at all taking aim at the Rambam?
The Rambam, he mentioned it. You mean in general or in this case? In general, he has. In general, he treats the Rambam with respect.
Right.
But doesn't hesitate to argue. He gives the Rambam his place and Rashi and Tosfos, but even though he'll argue on them. It not so the Ralbag or the others. He there's one place where he knocks Rashi for not learning like Chazal. There's a place that Rashi gives a pirush of Ma'ida that's not like Chazal, and he gets very and he says, "What kind of business is this to learn something not like Chazal?" He wrote on Gemara, Pirush on Bar Metzia, on Erev and others. He'll ask a question Taisus asks and give his own answer without regarding Taisus. He does not, he learns it straightforward, and he'll deal with it himself, not.
I did mean on this particular point. Whether stories in the Chumash were really happened or they were just visions that people saw.
I don't know if he speaks about that Rambam. I'm not sure. I don't remember. There are other places though where he does speak about this time. I'm not sure if he mentions him here or not. I don't remember now. Okay, so he says mispalza shemeshakot vormbo meito beseda muskatzlo. He says, and this is something that the Mor Nevuchim mentions something about shitas that say like that. So he says, everything came like a clock. Everything's playing out exactly. Since everything is already preordained and just sort of playing out. And Kate ancient of Oilam, Shayotzimaskil, Loyara Knafas Vuf. In other words, nothing has changed because of those things that are supposed to be a certain way, they haven't changed. Sha'achasha Oilam Noeg Abitiva Min Hogadechim Ito, and Kate away Boshin Oilam and Niflos, Oyez Shinna Seder Benoeg Altimri. Ulafi Daitoi, the Loynimta Dova Bishinni Tivoi, Kima Kolb Min Hogad Sanchiu. So this is someone who says that everything in this world is predetermined, and therefore there couldn't be an nisim. So miracles are really impossible. I guess the reference is to Aristotle in a certain way that time and certain things were forever. Nature cannot be changed. So this is going back to Aristotle. So this shita holds God can be a player within nature, but he's not above nature. And therefore, we can say things about God so long as we put it into a framework of sama nature, but nature and time precedes God. That's something the Rambam argues very strongly against, even though the Rambam Mor Nevuchim says that it doesn't make you automatically apikoros, it would be possible to sketch out a picture of belief even with that. I don't know how he does it, but he does he does do that. He says, "V'oid yamid hadava keichis havadav mekol dava," and the proof to it is, since nothing can come from anything else, "kilois havadav mekol dava rak v'dav miyuchod," you can ech yovei zeh shiyeh min mayim dava. He says, cause and effect is the ironclad law of nature, and everything within nature has a clear effect, and that never changes. So there is no way naturally for water to become blood. So water could not become blood and did not become blood. So he says, "V'hine mevi raya mimin al sheina minoi, shepol ativi pol fitibin harisvayim ativi, or pol nilchinyone." He says his proof is wrong. In other words, when someone comes along and says, in all the experiments we've ever run, X has never become Y, and therefore it's impossible. Well, all you're saying is it's impossible within nature. The only experimentation you've done is within nature, and correct, and it's never changed. Let's explain what he's saying over here. It's a point, when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above time, what do we mean? Time is, anything you're studying, or let's put it this way, when you're studying chemistry, time is meaningless in the sense that what is salt composed of? Salt is composed of sodium and chlorine. That's what it is. That's a snapshot. Period. It's only when you have a process. How does sodium and chlorine become salt? That requires time because it's a process, and processes happen within time. Imagine a world that had become frozen totally and nothing was happening. If nothing was happening, then time would be meaningless. No springs would unwind, no atoms would be spinning, no sun would be rising and setting. It's just like on a picture, the paper fades, but the picture itself, the people in the picture remain frozen forever, and that's it. The world is a world within time, and therefore, by definition, if that's the definition of the world, there's process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above time, beyond time, and therefore there's no music of process. So to ask how water becomes blood, well, if it requires a process, there is no process. But since we understand there's not requiring a process, then it's perfectly valid. That's the point he's trying to say here. But let's just finish up the last line.
The Maharal just does not subscribe at all to that shita that I hope we mentioned correctly in the Ramchal, that a nes is a shinoi of the teva, meaning it's a mechanism that you haven't seen before, I may never see again. But it's a cause and effect that was built into teva in the beginning and is triggered by Kadosh Baruch Hu's shvacha pratis.
His mahalach is going to be, it's almost as if there are two tevas of sorts, or whatever, and usually those two, it says, Kibikar Shem Tzor Elom, HaKadosh Baruch created this world, Olam Haba, and the Yud is for Olam Haba, He is for this world. Usually these are separate entities, and they don't intersect. And Nes means that the other reality is in our world and functioning along those lines. It's a taste of, there is a different world. Olam Haba is a different world, meaning it's a whole set of different realities. In this world, doing a mitzvah doesn't get anything. Giving a dollar tzedakah is a net loss of a dollar from your assets. Not eating a day is a net loss of weight. There's another world where giving a dollar tzedakah is a net gain. Fasting a day is makes the person a stronger person in a certain sense. That's a reality that's not here, but there is a place where that's real. That's more or less, we'll see when we learn the Maharal Mitzvah Hashem, but he wants to understand it as Kadosh Baruch Hu creating two different Mahalchim of the Bria, and a Nes happens when one mouth is overriding. So it's there from before in its own right, but it had never intersected our world. That's more
like... Can I paraphrase it back and tell me if I've got this right? That the mahalik of cause and effect that we're used to seeing and modeling, that's a mahalik of Teva that exists, which comes from the side of how this world works.
Right.
But when this world is being guided or there's a manhig from something which is beyond this world, by definition, that higher world is not subject to this cause and effect, otherwise it wouldn't be a higher world, and therefore its hanhaga transcends the normal cause and effect of this world.
That's a correct way of phrasing what he says. We'll see it as we go along, Mr., but that's the... Okay. So I guess as it gets later, we'll probably have to start moving it towards 10 o'clock. Well, I'll say next week, 9:30 is still doable.
Yeah, I think that still works.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.